I want to talk tonight about the sanctifying word. Because that's what it is. Before we read in John 17, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for ourselves. We could be, Lord, a little bit unrighteous and a little bit proud and begin thanking you for a lot of things, even yourself, Lord, and not fully mean it. But tonight we thank you for ourselves in relationship to the fact that you chose us from before the foundation of the world and brought us, O God, to this place by your grace, and we're very thankful, Lord. Not as though we would turn anyone away or think for one minute that no one else could be within that predestinated rank, but we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to this place because it was of your grace. And surely, Lord, this is the most wonderful, wonderful thing, that we should be part of this inheritance which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, may we never forget it. May we realize what you have done, Lord Jesus, personally, in these vessels. Then, oh God, we'll begin to go a little further than we ever have gone before. For, Lord, we know that until we begin to appreciate the very fact of ourselves in Jesus Christ and what it means, we'll never get one bit further than that. We'll always have our doubts and our failures and misunderstandings. But, oh God, when you count it's faithful to you what you have done, then we know, Lord, we're on a way that's got to go onward and upward at all times. And now, Lord, we thank you for the word you've given us. And we pray, Lord, that it would be wonderful tonight to understand. Open our hearts and minds in a new way. Lord, cultivate us tonight, we pray, as the husbandman cultivates that seed that's come up out of the ground. Bring us into a full harvest, O God, with the latter rain poured out upon us. Ripen us, O Lord, in the Son of Righteousness, until the first fruits of this age come forth ripened for the plucking hand of Almighty God to place us in His garner. This is our desire, Lord, and we believe, Lord, you heard us. This, therefore, will be our answer, even according to your word. Now make every word to count, Lord, and every word truth. And then, Lord, make that word come forth in lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John 17, we're going to read six to eight. Then we'll read 14 to 21. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, the 14th verse, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. Literal translation is out of the hands of the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. Now Jesus said that he had performed and successfully accomplished two commitments from God, given him from God, thereby fulfilling his ministry to the elect. Now let's notice again what I said, that Jesus in his prayer said that he had performed and successfully accomplished his two commitments from God, and thereby fulfilled his ministry to the elect. Now you'll find the first one in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested thy name. Secondly, in verse 8, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. There were two things that Jesus did. He manifested the name of God, and he gave the words of God, and both of these were given to the elect and to nobody else. Even though many heard them, it was only given to them. In doing this, in my estimation, he fulfilled Isaiah, the 9th chapter and verse 6, wherein it is written, "For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In his earthly ministry, I believe that he fulfilled the first two names, Wonderful and Counselor. And at present, he is the Mighty God, and is to be soon the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. I do not believe that the last two names have been fulfilled, but only the first three. And the first two were fulfilled in his earthly ministry because we know the name Wonderful, or word Wonderful, adjective, in the Hebrew means miracle and all that pertains to it. Therefore, his name was called Miracle Worker, which he certainly was. And secondly, he was called Counselor because he was the one who brought the word or the counsel of Almighty God to the elect. Now, first of all, let us consider the name, how he manifested the name Wonderful to the elect of Almighty God. Now, to Israel, the name of God is the unpronounceable name of J-H-V-H. We call it Jehovah by putting in the two vowels E and O, but we do not know if they are the vowels or if those vowels should be in there at all. The name of God is unpronounceable, just like the God himself is unseeable. No man can see God and live. Neither can any man pronounce his name. Now, his name cannot be pronounced, but it can be manifested. For though God cannot be seen, it can be proven that he is because he can be seen or manifested by the evidence of his creation and the works within his creation. Now, let's go to John, the 3rd chapter, for just a minute, and see how this works. That's the gospel now. And in verse 2, the same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Now what's he calling him? A teacher, because he preached and taught. "For no man," now notice he knew he came from God, "because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now Nicodemus was saying here, "I'm looking at you as a man, and you've got me confused, because I know that you're simply a man. Now, the best I can do in my mind is to figure that you've been sent from God to teach us, because no man can do what you're doing. In fact, there's only one person can do what you're doing, as I'm looking upon you, and that's God. So therefore, you've got to link up with God somehow, because I can see God in what you're doing, and you're not doing it, because no man can do those things." See? Now, notice also in John 15, and in verse 24, it says, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned." Jesus himself admitted that the works that he did, as you know in other verses, for he said, "The Father himself doeth the work." He admitted here and backed up what Nicodemus said, that he as a man was absolutely incapable of performing the works which people saw manifested and demonstrated before them. So therefore, it was God doing it, in spite of the fact that the man seemed to be doing it. In spite of the fact that the man was saying it, that did not count. It still had to be God, because no man can say these things and then they come to pass, because it is impossible that the words of a man could bring into existence or substance what he was seeing. See? Now, with that also, we go to Romans, the first chapter, and verses 18 to 20, to see what Paul says about it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, they don't believe it. They don't go all the way. They don't go down the line. It's not line upon line, precept upon precept, here to there, word for word. No, siree. No, sir. This is not a bunch of guys out there in the mafia that's doing this. This is what happens in religious circles. See? Now, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. See, what can be known of God has been manifested and shown to them. For the invisible things of Him, the great invisible God, see, is clearly brought into full view. How? Through the creation of the world and the things that are created, being understood, receiving even understanding of God by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God, by creation, has so thoroughly manifested Himself, though He is invisible and unseeable, He, by His creation and demonstration in creation, has absolutely brought every man into condemnation of hell by the very fact that He has shown Himself so superbly to them through His power of creation and manifestation within that creation. See? Now, also in John, the 5th chapter, 36 to 37. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father Himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And you have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, Him you believe not. He said, you don't believe Him. He said, you've never seen Him. You've never heard Him. But He said, I've absolutely proven to you that I have been sent from Him because of the demonstrations which I performed within myself I could not do. I am the one that God sent. And I am the one that you saw do these things. And you know that I can't do them. It's absolutely God. So therefore, when you saw these works, when you saw what was done, you saw what can be seen of God right here. So therefore, you saw Him. I want playing on these words now so you get what I'm saying. Just get what I'm saying, because we'll hit it in a little while. If not tonight, tomorrow night. All right, in John the 9th chapter, verses 3 to 4. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What was that? The healing of the boy blind, see? I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's today, for the night cometh when no man can work. So here He was, Jesus Himself, absolutely manifested the name of God, because that's what Israel had. Israel did not have a definite manifestation of God per se. In other words, they didn't have something out here like living flame of fire. They couldn't worship the sun. They couldn't worship the moon. They couldn't take something they carved out. They couldn't take some phenomenon here. No, sir. They were forbidden all of those things. Now, God was invisible to them. But God came into full visibility. Now listen, God came into full visibility in those works. They actually saw God, the name of God, Jehovah, the unpronounceable name of the invisible God, worked every single one of those miracles that they saw. They saw God. See? Now, what is the exact reason for manifesting God, or as the Bible said, manifesting His name, because the name is the same. You can't separate God and His name. See, God and His name is the same. Or manifest that the God by the name of Jehovah is in their midst, because that's exactly right. The God, Jehovah, was in the midst. It is to bring the second commitment into effect, which gives Him His second name, to which proves that He has the right to be what Isaiah calls Him next, which is Counselor. These tremendous works that He did were there in order to give Him the right to give forth the Word of God to the elect. Now, let's go back and get our Bible parallel. We go back to Exodus, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 8. Now, here it is. And Moses answered and said unto God, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto you. Now, why not? Why shouldn't they say? Because no man can see God. If He appeared unto you, oh, that's the land. Now, look, we know these things. See? We know these things. This is people's attitude, always been the attitude of people. Say, well, God appeared to you. That's a joke. Why? He couldn't do that. And Israel knew it would be a joke. And Moses knew it would be just a joke to those fellows. They say, well, you can't see God in the first place. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And Moses cast the rod on the ground, and the rod became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. It became a rod in his hand. That they might believe the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob that appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand again in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom again. And he plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, said God, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, the voice of the first sign. He said, Moses, instead of you talking, I'm going to give you something so tremendous it'll talk for you. You won't need to do your own talking. I'll do something that'll talk. See, I won't say a word. Then he said, they'll be ready to listen. Certainly. It shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice the first sign, that they'll believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they'll not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground, the dry land. Now you can see here exactly that God was giving Moses the evidence of himself to the public in order that they would listen to what Moses had to convey to them in order to deliver them. Imagine that. Here's the people wanting deliverance. Here's the people needing God. They've got a promise from God living. And they're so dumb and so stupid. Yeah. So dumb and so stupid. And yet I'll bet you that there was an Israelite who wasn't saying, isn't it true that God said to Abraham, we're going to get out of here? Isn't it true that God said to Abraham, you're going to get out of here? Oh, Lord, it's got to be time you bring us out of here. Oh, Lord, it's got to be time we get out of here. Yeah, I think it's almost 400 years. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You get the picture? Apply it today. Use your mind tonight in your hearts and begin getting what I'm trying to get across to you. They had this promise. It was time to go. They were screaming for it. They were too dumb and too stupid. Spiritually. To know their left hand from their right hand to get up. Yeah. You think it? Huh? You think it? You begin to see the 20th century? Or are you sitting here tonight and you're so smug in your own thoughts? Glory to God, Brother Bill. Millions now live and never die. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a rapture. You ain't going nowhere.
You ain't going nowhere.
And when it's over, you'll say, Brother Dale, and I would kid God I'd listen to you. But you seem like the kind of smart alley preacher there in the tough one.
Oh, I know what people think about me.
I know. There ought to be a judgment day on that roll call for preaching this gospel in the 20th century, preaching it just the way I'm preaching it now. Because if Israel was so smart, how come they had to have something super, super to get them out of the mess they were in? And they were the elect of God looking for the Moses ain't going to be nothing. God said, I know that. That will do. I'll give you evidence. I'll give you sign. And I'll prove it to me that told you to talk. See? What do you think of the Apostle Paul? He's over here in 1 Corinthians. Second chapter. Second chapter 1 and 5, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, neither did Moses. He stuttered, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the very thing that would stumble them. The very thing that would stumble Israel, he said, I'll push it right under your noses. The very thing that heathen would turn down to, he pushed it right under their noses. And William Branham came on the scene, he took Jesus' name and pushed it under every Trinitarian's nose. You think not? Oh, come on, there never was a man that God ever sent to this earth here to people, but he just took that very thing that was their little lovely thing and pushed it right under their nose. He said, you're wrong. Who is Jesus to Paul? Jehovah. Who art thou, Lord? He said to the pillar of fire. I'm Jesus. I'm Jehovah. And he said, don't you ever believe anybody that preaches another Jesus. They didn't. They preached a second person, the Godhead. And he took away his name and gave him a title. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Why? Because he knew they wouldn't believe unless something happened tremendous. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God sent this man with such a panoply of tremendous acts in the Holy Ghost that there wasn't one man could ever gainsay Paul. His power was so authoritative and ascended, he could say to those who come against him, what came the word of God out of you, or came the word of God unto you? Now he said, if the word of God never came out of you, but it came unto you, and he said, if a man's a prophet or spiritual, never mind a prophet. That's too much. But he said, you claim you're spiritual. Such even spiritual. He said, you'll admit that what I say is the commandment of God. Because I demonstrated it. Did they say, whoopee? Oh, that's right, Paul, did it? They said, move over, bud. Did they? Certainly they did. They were divided already. What about the 20th century? Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Chapter 18, 22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name. Now, here it is. Which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Brother, sister, there is no man living who can come to you in the name of the Lord with thus saith the Lord, and have anything come to pass unless he is that kind of a prophet. He can have a vision. He can have a vision like I'm standing here now with my eyes open and see every single person in this room. Now let's say that happened. And I had a vision in the blackness of night, maybe last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I saw everybody here, even sister's feet sticking out because I can't see her. Right. Can't see her, but I say the lady sat in the corner. I don't even know who it was because I didn't see her face, but Brother Ivan in there, I think must be Sister Ivan, her feet sticking out. So now Sister Mary in there in a blue dress and Joe with that gold colored sweater on. I sure took each one. I have this vision here, and I said, come to you, and I something else is gonna happen. Say now, during that meeting, I would see Sister Seed suddenly take her glasses off here. And I came in this building and I said, thus saith the Lord. And you were sitting here, I'll tell you, Sister Seed would not be healed. Because I am not a prophet. That vision could be so real, it would never come to pass. Because I am not a prophet. If I simply came here and I said, folk, I had a vision, listen. Stood in this door. Refuse to come in this room till you're all seated. I said, Brother, Ivan, bring me in blindfolded. Or lead me with my, so I walk backward and I'll stand with my people with the back. And I got up here and I said, listen, you people, I want you to know something. I had a vision last night. Are you sitting such a way? That's right, Brother Dale. Now listen. By the grace of God, I hope it is true. And I'm believing. The Sister Seed will take her glasses off. She takes her glasses off. Because I never said, thus saith the Lord. Because I'm not a prophet. There's a man named Garrett. And I'm calling him his name because he had his letter and everything at home. He signed it. He said, Brother Branham says the West Coast would go down. Now, just making these dates up, because I can't remember, July the 8th of 67. He said, Brother Branham made a mistake. He said he shouldn't have said thus saith the Lord. Why? He said, look at my case. I had a vision. It was absolutely phenomenal. I stood before the people. And I said, thus saith the Lord, and it failed. And I said, exactly, it had to fail, because he was a false prophet. He said, Brother Dale, you're judging. Listen, you talk to God. You tell God that. Don't you criticize me. You criticize God. You call him a liar. Don't call me Baal out. Because I'm reading what God said. See? I'm putting it right where it is. I'm believing God. Now you say, I'm not going to call God a liar. Then you're going to believe this. If you're scared, that's good. And we better be scared. I even hate to say what I just said a while ago. You call God a liar. I don't like that because I got a funny feeling in my heart saying it. But I got to say it to punctuate the truth in this bent generation. To think they know something and they don't know anything because God said they know. And when a person's miserable, wretched, naked, and blind and don't know, they don't know anything. I tell you. So when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet spoke it presumptively. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. It tells you right here, a prophet of God, with this God-given ability to speak to the people in order to make the people follow him, because he stands in the very place of Almighty God, and then somebody else comes along, and they've got a vision, and they say, that's the Lord, you watch it fail. Every single time it'll fail. It can't happen. Otherwise, where are we going to stand? Where am I going to build my faith? Where am I going to put my hope? God tells you something here. Says, listen to that prophet that I've sent there, thus saith the Lord. That comes in my name, thus saith the Lord. And then he turns somebody loose on me? Oh, come on now. But, oh, look at the God who keeps this fear going as it is. Not a watch can keep time like Almighty God has that sun up there just moving exactly right and everything moving around that sun. You just make everything time by the way God's universe is caught. And then you tell me God let down here and let his elect be fooled? Why, he says at the tail end of time, everybody but the very elect is going to be fooled. And it tells you right here how it's going to be done. They're going to lift the people that haven't got dust at the Lord, see? Now, notice the close tie between the two commitments to the elect. The close tie between the two commitments. Manifesting the name, bringing the word, both to the elect. Works and word, or the right to be the counselor because of the miracle. Jesus was the counselor because of the miracle. You follow me? He had that right. Just like Moses. Just like Paul. He had the right. Now you say, Brother Dale, I wonder about a fellow like Isaiah. I wonder about Jeremiah. Where were their signs? Oh, brother, sister, don't you see it? Listen to me. The whole Bible is in the book of Genesis. The whole Bible is in the book of Genesis. The whole Bible is in the first five books. From there on, the rest of the Bible is nothing but history and the further evolution or ramification of the word given in the first five books. That's why you've got two great men, Moses, Paul. Check it for yourself. Go ahead, challenge it. You won't find one thing in the rest of the Bible that's not in those seed books right back there. Moses and Paul. Then at the end time, he's got to send Elijah. It's simple. Now, the tie-in, the right to be counselor because of the miracle. John 10. That's the Gospel of John, of course. Verses 22 to 38. And it was at Jerusalem, and at the feast of the dedication it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple and saw them forth. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? Huh? How long do you make us to doubt? They saw only what God could do and said, Well, I just wish there was something in us. I just wish there was something to say. I wonder, do you think maybe he'd do something our way? Oh. Tell us plainly. Are you the Messiah? It's a good thing I wasn't there. I'd have said, no, I'm your ancestral grandmother. Huh? I'd have been about as sarcastic as any man living could be. Do you know, if this Bible were not written in King James Version, but from the literal Greek as it is, as I read it in my study, you would be surprised of how Jesus reacted toward this kind of stuff. Do you know when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, when they were saying if he'd have been here, it wouldn't happen? Do you know that he wasn't groaning himself, but the expression in the Greek is one of complete disappointment in the people. Just an anger of irritation rising up. Sure. This makes it sound like he was so sweet and thick-skinned and nothing bothered him, just something. Don't you believe it, brother sister? Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they have already told you. Who I am. Why are you asking such a ridiculous question? What is the matter with you? Now apply it today. If they said this about God himself, what will they say about an ordinary man born in flesh? They'll say, oh boy. Brother, I have heard everything, says these D's, PhDs, and the hierarchy, and the lay people. Dr. Jones says, yes, that's right. What do you think? How do you think they'd act if God sent a man? Huh?
Don't you know the Bible said they killed every prophet or ran them out of town? Huh? That's a procedure for the religious people to do to God's anointed. I said religious people. I didn't say heathen out there. God never criticized the heathen. He criticized the Jews. And who were they? They were the only people that God had any respect for. And if you don't think they had something, you want me to tell you something what the Jews had working for them? Let's turn over here. Oh, my Bible's just been finished. Right to Romans 9, it opened up. Listen to what the Israelites had in the days of Jesus Christ in Paul's case. Verse 4 of Romans 9. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning Jesus Christ came? What more could you want? You know the only thing they didn't have? Was sitting in the very throne of God glorified to hear everything else. And what did they do? They killed and crucified him. Crucified and killed. Am I telling you the truth? Huh? Certainly it's the truth. They did it to him. What did they do to the prophet? Okay? Let's keep reading. That's 10th of John. Now listen. In the 11th verse. 26th verse. But you believe not. Because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And I give unto them, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them all is greater than, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone them. They said, we have it. What about those works? Oh, forget the works. That doesn't mean a thing. What does mean a thing? Ah, tradition or education. Well, after all, you see, when the apostle died, there's no more works. See? You know, people think when Brother Branham kept preaching all those sermons about works, 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 you know, the works of God, and all the manifestations, you'd almost think for 1 minute that he was talking about everything in this age of manifestation. He wasn't. He was just telling you about his ministry. Just the way Jesus did here. What are you doing about his work? See? All right, Jesus answered them. Many good works have I showed unto you from my Father. Which of these works do you stone me? They said, for good works he stoned me not, but for blasphemy. Because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? Don't you know your Bible? You are God? That's right in the Psalms, 82nd Psalm. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, who's the word of God come to? The prophets. The prophets were God. G-O-D-S. Moses was God to Aaron. Why to Aaron? He was God to Israel, but why to Aaron? Because Aaron was the one who drew his talking. And Aaron could only talk as Moses talked. And Moses could only talk as God talked. See? Your God. If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say you of him whom the Father sanctified, and sent in the world, thou bastards, because they said them the Son of God? What else could he be being that prophet? What else could he be but be that, and being that great prophet? He had to be the Son of God. He had to be God. The rest were gods, and they just wrote about him. But he was that word. See? You follow it? Alright. Say ye of him when the Father sanctified and sent in the world. How did he sanctify him? He sanctified him before the eyes of the world by the mighty acts and wonders he did. He sanctified him there in the river by the dove coming down. He sanctified him by the voice of thunder. He sanctified him to the three apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he sanctified him to the whole of Israel by his dynamic ministry. After he said apart. Listen. He said, you know, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See, the works sanctify me. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works. He said, start somewhere and start believing. Can you get folks to believe about Brother Brown? No, sir. He said, but look, don't you know nobody has it yet? Oh, they said, his ministry fitted away. We have people there with greater ministries. Glory to God. Say, hold it. Not one of those had thus saith the Lord. Show me anyone that had it.
They gonna listen?
No, they ain't listening. Then,
you said, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Start somewhere.
Would they do it?
They wouldn't do it, see?
Also, with that, I read already John 15, 24.
Well, let's read it again.
If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. What about that? If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned?
Well, brother, there, that doesn't shock me, because in my day, you see, what about today? What about Israel's day? They had the sacrificial lamb.
See? But the lamb didn't take any effect when they turned this work down. You say, well, brother, there, you see, but when I have Jesus sitting upon the mercy seat, and you see, I don't believe the word, then I've got him. Oh, no, you haven't got him. I'm sorry. You just cut your throat here. You denied him. You just denied him. I don't care if you talk in tongues or dance up and down, say you got the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean a thing to me. That proves you haven't got it. You deny the end time work. You say, who are you to say so? I'm here to say so because the vindicated prophet himself said so. And he was vindicated. And my Bible said when a man can come to you in the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and it comes to pass, you better listen to him. So I'm going to pass the Bible. I don't believe the Old Testament. Well, that's then to go and forget. Just forget everything. Just forget everything. Don't believe anything. Religious hypocrite. See? I know that sounds like harsh, but what else could I say? I'd have to brand myself. Before God, I'd have to say the same thing about myself. Or my children. They're a million miles from God unless something happens. You think I'll back down for 1 minute and try to preach a sermon and get them into heaven? Huh? I've heard many a preaching. I've been stupid and guilty myself enough to think a man had enough to get to heaven when in my heart I knew he never could have been born again. And yet he made some kind of a testimony. I do my best to preach him right into heaven from his casket. And I've seen many a preacher try the same thing. I'm through with that kind of nonsense. I'm preaching anybody into heaven. I'm not preaching anybody into hell either. Just preach the word of God and let the sick fight. If it ruins me and cuts my throat, I'll still stand up. That's my nature. I'll still stand up to be counted on the word of God. Because this is not my word, it's his word. See? If I had not done among the works another man did, they had not sinned. But now, they have nothing, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. The very works that Jesus did brought the Father right into full view before the people. I said, the very works that Jesus did brought the Father into full view of the people. They saw God. Right. Amen, that's exactly the Bible. Why? Because it just read in you. Huh? I'm not jumping on you now. I'm just preaching serious, that's all. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Do you realize what I just said? I said when Jesus gave him the word, they had no cloak for their sin. The Bible says the Laodicean church age is naked. Is naked. Is naked. How can this age be naked unless God sends a man with the ministry and the word? Can't do it. See? The work was completely discharged. See? What Jesus did. But notice, please, that there has to be, even before these two, the testimony of Scripture as to whether even these two things are correct. Supposing Jesus came on the scene, and he said, look at the works that I've done. Now listen to me. And then he prayed sanctimoniously, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I have manifested thy name. I have given the word. And they say, now just hold it right there. See? Where is it here? Where is it here? My, you talk about the United States government and being made up of with a threefold branch with its checks and its balances in order to see the government is correct. Brother, I ain't got nothing. That doesn't even touch you. Here Jesus did every single thing that was absolutely vindicated as that one, and he turned right around And he quotes in quote over here now, John 15:25. Listen to it. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. It tells you right here in the Bible, there would be a ministry that would absolutely vindicate this one as the Messiah, and they'd hate him just the same. There'd be no reason for it. Can you show me one time Jesus gave anybody a reason to hate him? All right, let's go to John, the fifth chapter, and verse 39. Search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. See? The witness of the scripture that this ministry had to come to earth and do what it did through the whole Old Testament. His ministry is there, his birth is there, his rejection is there, his resurrection is there, his ascension is there, and the Gentile bride coming there is all in the Old Testament. His second coming is in the Old Testament. How he comes is there. What he does when he comes is there, and what will happen after he comes is there. And after that is still there, because Isaiah is full of the New Jerusalem, even as Daniel is full of the great white stone judgment and the disposition of the wicked. It's all there. It's all there. And they claimed they knew the word. And they said, we know the word. This is it. He said, hold it right there. Why don't you know this? They said, because we're not in it. Because we like it ours. His brother Branham said it so beautifully. Jesus Christ came according to the scripture, but not according to their interpretation of scripture. See? Jesus was absolutely satisfied that all the requirements that God had put upon him had been fulfilled and were scripturally fulfilled and nothing left out of it. He delivered his message based upon his mighty miracle. Notice what he said in John 17 and in verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. What was the work? To manifest his name and to bring the word of God to the elect. Now, will you please notice something here? At no time did Jesus accept a challenge for a showdown. At no time did he accept a challenge for a showdown. He never did. It was all scriptural fulfillment. Right. And when he had delivered his word, there was no place else to go. There's nothing left. Right. It was all over. Now what? What comes from this vindication? What comes from this vindication? He finished his ministry, which was manifest the name, which you saw how it was done, because I read you the scripture to prove it. Then you saw how it was that he brought the word, which he did, to the elect. Now listen, he then praised the Father for the full effect of the ministry to fall upon and place positionally the bride or the elect. He prays for the full effect of his ministry to fall upon and place the bride positionally because of his ministry. And we read it in John 17:17-26. Sanctify them through thy truth. Listen, sanctify them through thy truth. Separate them unto thyself to the holiness which you demand. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. When's this going to take place? The world's going to know. It tells you over there in the book of Revelation, it's the white stone judgment. You look for the world to know that now? Oh, come on. The world doesn't know for nothing. Well, he tells you in the book of Revelation, he said in that day, he said they're going to bow and they're going to know that I have loved thee. That's at the white stone judgment. Then carried over into New Jerusalem. Certainly. Don't get your chronology way out. Just because Jesus prayed way back there 2,000 years ago, it wasn't just 1, 2, 3, 4, it happened then. We'll show you something here. Listen. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation earth. There are two things you'll notice here that this word did. The full effect of the ministry of Jesus coming to the elect, because they believed the word and the work. It placed them positionally as to their identification. It identifies them. Then it gives their destiny. Identification is found in 21 to 23. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Now, who's saying this? Jesus is saying this. Father in me. See? That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them. Now, who is the I this time? The Logos. See? They all may be one. Verse 21, as thou, Father, the Logos, art in me, physical Jesus, and I in thee. How? The man himself baptized into God by the Holy Ghost falling on him. God baptizing the human man right into God. See? Now, that they may be one in us. See, there it is again. Man absolutely linked up with God. And the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, the Logos, and thou in me. See, that there again now is Jesus speaking back to the Logos, that they may be perfect in one, which is what? God dwelling in human flesh, which again takes place, the bride one, God dwelling in human flesh, sons of God baptized into God, forming that body, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them. Let's see, no. The verse went now. That's right. Hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now notice, verse, that is their identification. And that is their position in Christ. But notice their destiny now. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, and what are they? They are thoroughly identified in Godhead through the same baptism as the Lord Jesus Christ by the Logos. See? I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Position, identified, and predestinated. See? The ministry of the Word. Believing the works and the Word puts them into Christ in full identification with Christ and gives them their inheritance in Christ. Where He is, there they may be also, and nobody but this kind of a people will be in the throne with Jesus Christ. I don't care how he argues, because I'm in the whole. Identification and destiny are bound up in receiving this word, the voice of the sign and the voice of the word. See?
Only the Word produces this, not work. See? Remember, you believe the voice of the sign, it pointed you to the Word. The signs were there to give you the Word. See? It's the Word that sanctifies and gives the identification definite. Only the Word produces it, not work. Not one word is said about the works producing this, but contrarywise, it says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 15 to 23, reading only verse 15 though, beware of false prophets. Who are they? They can show signs and wonders, but they do not have, thus saith the Lord. And when they try it, they'll fail every single time because God said so. Aren't you glad your faith is built upon something that real? And yet people say you got to believe in an invisible God as though there's nothing around to believe in. Why, I tell you, if God didn't do one more thing, and he doesn't need to, as far as I'm concerned, then give us the word to William Branham, we would have more than enough. Because if that word was given according to the word of God, which it was, and we can prove it by the very word of God, then this word of God's got to come into full effect. Where is it going to come? Right in the bride. What's it going to do? It's going to sanctify her unto her identification and position right in the glory. Why? Because God said so. Now listen, we're going on. I said, the works don't do this. It's the word that does it. See? The voice of the word, of the sign, is to get to the word. Now verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied many? Now, did God command the folk to prophesy? He said so. He told them to prophesy. Paul said, I would you prophesy. Did Jesus say to cast out devils? He sure did. Did he say to do wonderful works in his name? He certainly did. And if they obeyed Jesus Christ, how can he cast them out? Because they didn't obey him. They walked outside of the framework of the Word. And any man that does a miracle or uses any power of God or any authority out of the framework of that Word is a literal devil in the eyes of God. That's why women cannot preach, because God said no. I don't care if this little lady in Pittsburgh that comes here to Toronto wins her whole town, puts 2 million people on his knees overnight. I will still have to stick with the Word of God. So, Brother Bill, I got news. Don't give me any news, Brother Sister, because I'm with the Word. Well, I would say, well, what are you doing? While she's doing it, I'm sticking with God in the corner. I'd sooner go to hell believing the Word the way I do than try to believe it their way. Because I've got not one word against me believing the Word of God the way I believe it, but I can give you scripture after scripture proving a woman cannot get up and take any authority in the pulpit at all. She cannot get before any man and use that Word of God. Right. Except they're doing it. They're using this outside the Word. Jesus said, check the scripture. Come on. See if I'm in it. Let a woman check the scripture and see if she's in it. She's not going to find she's in it. What about Deborah? That's politics. Deborah never once ministered in the temple. Never once would carry the ox. Never once had a thing to do where the men had to do. Did the woman prophesy? Sure. Let her prophesy what God told her to prophesy. She can't take authority. See? He said, I'll profess on you, I never knew you. Depart from me. What do you think he's going to say to Balaam? Balaam prophesied like nobody outside of Moses prophesied. Every single thing was right, what he said. And it's still coming to pass, what he said. That's still coming to pass, absolutely. Over 4,000 years gone by, it's still coming to pass. Yet the Word of God calls him a diviner because he took the wages of divination. He could have one hand in God's hand and the other hand in the hand of the devil. That's right. Do you think people can't do that today? Search the Bibles and find out. I know people think it's strange. Well, Brother Dale, how in the world could people, if they've got that anointing, do that wrong thing? I want to ask you a question. How could the devil, when he had the Holy Ghost, go against God? Because the Bible said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, because that's the only anointing there is. And he stood full word over the throne of God, and he rebelled against God. Now there's your answer right there.
See, works don't do it. You don't identify by your works. See, your works point you to the Word. And if you're a really led child of God, the minute you see a work, you'll check and say, where does that go? Where does that, where does that go? See? And a man gets up on the pulpit, and he tells you, he said, listen, I've got a little thing from God. I want to help you, dear folks. God just made a covenant with me, and that covenant's now with you. Bless your heart. If you give me $20, God will answer any one of your prayers. Hallelujah. And I say, you lying hypocrite, you child of the devil. When did God tell a thing like that? And you get all these tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, so-called good people jumping up and down, the businessman and the whole bunch of, glory to God, isn't that Nancy, ain't he wonderful? Don't call him wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Don't stand up and call him one of the brides. You say, Brother David, am I judging? You want scripture? I could take time and deviate. I won't do it. It's over there in Timothy. So you, God calls your bluff in every hand. But he's deceiving the multitude, isn't he? Works don't do it. Works do not place their group in Jesus Christ. And see their destiny. It is a lake of fire. What is it? They failed the word test. The word test is in that 15th and 16th verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. They look just like sheep. They act just like sheep. But they're wolves. And they're ravening wolves. Ravening wolves, ravenous. They can't be quieted. They're grasping the more and more and more they want. Only talk the nights about Jesus. They say, hallelujah, sister dear. You don't need to suffer. Why, glory to God. God just told me he's got $1,000 waiting for you. Yes. Sell your house, sister dear. She sells it. Listen, you shall know them by their fruit. You say, there it is, love, joy, peace. Now hold it. He tells you they got sheep clothing. So it's not love, joy, peace, and temperance, and goodness, and kindness, and these things. Brother love and so on. Listen, suddenly he comes from sheep and wool to trees. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs? To figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. There it is. Now, every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And then he tells you what it is. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall come to me. Then who are these? These are false prophets. These are they who come with signs and wonders but are off the word of your Abraham seed. But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. See? Absolutely religious. Absolutely a part of the game. Absolutely identified. You think you can't identify? Brother, we don't identify like the Jews. You got to be kidding. How do they identify? By a family relationship. How do you identify? By a family relationship based upon your understanding of that word. I'm Pentecostal. I believe in tongues, heaven. That places you. I'm a Baptist. I believe you get it when you seek God. Then that places you. I'm a Presbyterian. I don't believe there's anything to it. That places you. See? I'm a Church of Christ. I don't believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. That passed out. It was simply a framework for the, I mean, a scaffold for the church. And when that went for the church. And so when that scaffold was finished, you take it away. We don't need that place of you. That's your family. See? But you see, I stand right on that word as delivered in my day by the vindicated power that puts you in your family. There's where you are. You identify your flesh with Abraham. See? Certainly. Now he said, my word has no place in you. Here comes William Branham, prophet of God. Great ministry. Absolutely no Pentecost. Or all the Pentecostals put together couldn't touch him. And I knew the greatest man of Pentecost in America. That was the late Charles Price. Brilliant a friend of mine. Lived by his business agent in Calgary, Alberta. Certainly I know what I'm talking about. Charles Price couldn't hold a candle, William Branham. Wasn't even the picture. Wonderful man of God. Was he naked? Sure. He isn't a word for his day. But he never once had dust at all in the occasion. Never did. He never came with the word. He never had the word. He was absolutely walking in Pentecostal tradition in the best of it. And in those days, the Pentecostal tradition was correct for their day. They had the Holy Ghost. But in that day, they never said you spoke a tongue. As though that was the baptism. They said, seek God and receive the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be speaking in tongues. When? That's not the point. You'll just speak in tongues if you get the Holy Ghost first. They never made it an issue. They simply called it an evidence. And pretty soon you heard them saying you received the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. Find the scripture for that. Oh, no, brother, sister. When you put it together, you're wrong. Because you have it first, then you speak. Then they said, come with the Holy Ghost. They've equated the gifts of the Spirit to the Holy Ghost himself. Which is not scriptural and 100% wrong. Like the brother Branham said, if you came to me and wanted me, and I gave you a gift, you're not getting me, you're getting the gift. And comes to the gift. See? They're wrong. Okay. Now, notice also, in the 40th verse, but now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Understanding and hearing the word is the same thing. See? Knowing the message, knowing the word of God for your day, knowing the scripture, then Jesus said, if you only knew the scripture, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only known the hour of his day, well, he said, now it's too late. What hour of education? Knowing the word of God for their day. But it's too late. Israel believed the prophet in Jesus' day and condemned their forefathers for rejecting them. But they ended up with the blood of the prophet on their hands for misinterpreting the word of God for their day. You hear what it says? The people in Jesus' day, when he was there after he vindicated, they said, absolutely, our fathers were wrong. They said, yes, sir, we accept those prophets. And Jesus said, their blood is on your hands. Why? Because they misinterpreted the word of God to their day and did exactly what their father did. They killed the prophet Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 20, 23. And verses 28 to 36. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Notice it? Now listen. Outwardly you appear righteous. I want to ask you a question. Who in the name of common sense is more critical about anybody than religious people about religious people? There's nobody more critical. In the minute you say you're a Christian, everybody downtown that doesn't know one thing about God looks at you wanting. Just wanting. See if you can get something. Now Jesus said, was he a liar? Did Jesus say, I'm going to flatter these guys. I think I'll say something nice about them. Yes, I'll say something nice. On the outside, you certainly act exactly right. You got a good appearance. You look fine. Now you think he didn't mean that? He certainly did mean it. He said, you're evidence amongst people. He said, absolutely everything you show is 100%. Okay? He tells them that. But within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Within. What you are inside is a dirty, filthy thing. And it's murderous to the nth degree. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. You've got a lot of good things in. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore be you witness unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Why like that? How could he say to those fine people? I just leave those to a bunch of lousy, miserable cutthroats. Pretending religion when they were so... Oh, no, they weren't. They were true to one wife, most of them. They dedicated themselves to the temple. They brought up their kids right. Absolutely fine, respectable people. Sure, there was amongst them those that stole widows' goods and all under the surface. But he does not say that here. He says he tells you right here that they tied, they meant Anakin coming. See? But what was it? Off inside. They were not one with that word. They're out of the picture entirely in that realm. Now, reading on. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some you shall scourge the synagogue, and persecute the city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth, set upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom you threw between the temple and the altar. Verily I send you all these things come upon this generation. Why? Why? Because they misinterpreted the word of God concerning his coming for that day, just like I told you last night, they're misinterpreting right today. Okay. Notice, the worst ministry was a sign, and the sign was a voice, according to John 15, 22 to 24. Comparing the two. I said the works ministry was a sign, and the sign was a voice. 22nd verse. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they've no cloak. If I had not done among them the works which none of the man done, they had not sinned. See? Now watch carefully here. All works done by any man calling himself of God through Jesus Christ has a sign with a voice. I don't care who he is. See, don't care who he is. Brother Robert, Brother Osborne, Sister Kuhlman, Sister D. Medlin, Brother Grant, Brother Allen. I don't care who they are. Any preacher in your town. If I've got a signed ministry, Brother Dale. If Brother Bob's got a ministry, Brother Bob. Doesn't matter who it is. Anybody with a sign at all, that voice has a sign. Because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. In Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, and in verses 1 to 3, you can hear it for yourself. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. He comes in the child is here. He comes in and says, Brother, you've been worried about selling your motel, haven't you? I've got a word from the Lord for you. Here is how your motel is going to sell. And he tells the man how it's going to sell. And I know this fellow that told the fellow that I know who had the motel. See, I know the guy who told him. Oh boy, do I know him. Oh boy, do I know that guy. Did I tell you about him? I won't bother, it's too lurid. Too filthy. And I can prove it. So the fellow whose motel sold under those conditions, I said, hold it, just stop right there. I said, this man that told you, did his telling you cause the motel to sell? Or did God just let him in on a secret as to how the motel would sell? And his eyeballs rolled around his head, and he said, you have a point there. And it was a point, it wasn't on top of my head like the point was on his for a while. See? You can have a genuine sign and wonder, and when you do, it's got a voice, and the voice is, well, brother, you're a wealthy man. I think perhaps you can help my missionary cause. Take that money. Think not? Oh, come on. Not because I know the guy, I just know people. Every sign has a voice. Giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whether he spake out of these things. Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known and served, and thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, that dreamer of dreams. See? Why, listen. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. The Bible says that God sent that fellow to see if you'd be deceived enough. To check you out. give a genuine sign and a wonder to see if you'd run away from the word that God gave by Moses or God gave by his word prophet, to see if you'd leave that word, to see if you'd go away from it, and thereby go away from God, because a prophet is a man with the word. And as Brother Branham said, he's got the truth. The most original and ancient meaning for a prophet is an interpreter of the word. That's what he said. See? Now, notice, in the last days, anointed men shall rise with sign voices to revive Deuteronomy 13:1-3. I just read it here. Let us look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1-9. Here's the scripture I was telling you about. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. What's a perilous time? When a man is in peril, he is in constant danger, the tricky kind of danger. Because though he is in peril, he is not yet hurt. He is not yet dead, but he's standing there, like the field traps about to close. Listen, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Right. Groups of people, faithful to Baptist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Pentecostal, covetous. You ever seen a time when the Baptist didn't want the Methodist, the Methodist wanted the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal one home? Boasters, million more in 44, were the phenomena of the ages. Proud. I'm proud that I'm one of them. What's one of them? Oh, that's Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecost, and Nazarene. Blasphemers. Why? Because they got a blasphemous name. Nazarene, Pentecostal, so on. The word Laodicea, at the end time, is the only age, my brother, my sister, and get this straight, where women were called by the name of the age. Laodicea was the name of prominent women. That's right. And today there are many prominent. I'm Miss Baptist. I'm Miss Pentecost. I'm Miss Trinity Pentecost. I'm Miss Oneness Pentecost. You are. What are you? I'm Miss President. Oh, right. You wonder. Oh, no, no. Huh? Brother, sister, the Bible's written so on every billboard and every signpost, every telephone post, everything in this world, a million feet high. And the very age of characterized naked women sell refrigerators. They sell cook stoves. They sell wallpaper. They sell cigarettes. They sell everything. A picture of this age. You couldn't miss this age. You couldn't miss any scripture. If you've been taught by the prophet, I challenge it. There's no scripture that doesn't open your eyes in this age. It all becomes so vividly clear that a man would be blind. Disobedient to parents. Certainly, that's anarchy of this age. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Listen, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. See? For of this sort are they that creep into houses, with that lead silly, the lead captive, silly women, laden with sin. That's just not about individual women. That's about the spiritual condition of the age. Women represent the church. Led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge. What's it telling you here? It tells you these people are the condition they're in, not because they're all out there committing adultery, batting each other over the head with a baseball bat, cutting each other's throats, robbing banks. It's not that. They're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. They never get down to spiritual revelation of reality in God. That's what he tells you here. People read this, and they say, oh boy, that's a bunch of homosexuals. That's a bunch of filthy women. That's a bunch of dirty, what they call soul mating, and then they get into physical mating. And yeah, and see, oh, it doesn't. He's not talking about that. These words describe the spiritual condition of the church. It's a spiritual fornication and a corruption that's going on. Not this other. It tells you that here. Ever learning and never able to come to knowledge. They're going up. They're getting better and better. My brother and my sister, the Lutherans had something on the ball when the Catholics laid down the truth. Then the Lutherans began to die, and the Westerns came along and they had more, and the Pentecostals came along and had more, and Latter Rain came along and had more, and somebody else came along and had more, and they were going and galloping towards, they're going higher and higher. Today they got restoration, get the wind, too late. It's over. Now we're in the age of the bride. They'll never come to this truth. But somebody's going to come to the truth. Now listen. Now is Jannes and Jambres. Resist with withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind. What's a corrupt mind? A mind that doesn't have the word of God exactly according to Pauline revelation. Because Paul said that in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and verse 2. Reprobate concerning the faith. What faith? The true faith. Listen, brother, sister, Paul brought it out. He said, if I say God raised Jesus from the dead and God hath not raised him, my faith is vain. If you say Jesus is coming this way and he comes another way, you'll never make it. He said, brother, there, a God will forgive me. Don't look at me. Don't you understand what I'm preaching about? How do you think they're going to get by this when they didn't get by? If Israel said he's coming another way, he came his own way and they lost him. There wasn't one that got him when they turned down the scripture the way he came. See? Now listen, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. My brother, my sister, the Bible says Jannes and Jambres and Moses will reappear, and the showdown is on the truth. So then, therefore, at the end time, there has absolutely got to be somebody come on the scene with the truth of the Word of God, just like Jesus. Someone's going to have a showdown and manifestation. Someone's going to have to finally have a sign with a big enough voice. Someone's going to have to do what nobody else could do. Then stand up and bring the Word. But listen, these men of reprobate mind, what is it? They will not go to the Word. They'll say, no, sir, we're satisfied with what we know that Brother Branham had the greatest ministry. Oh, we don't doubt that at all. But you see, the thing is, it isn't by ministry how it goes in great times, because anybody can have those, you see. But they forgot that he did what nobody else could do. They forgot that he had thus saith the Lord. They forgot that he had the pillar of fire. They forgot that he had the vindication, that he had the authentication. See? And every time he called their bluff, they get on the platform at Chautauqua High, David Duplessis and Mr. Gordon Lindsay, and they said, now listen, you folks, you want to cross it here. We know Brother Branham is a great prophet of God, and he's just wonderful in that trance when he tells you things. But when he goes to doctrine, he doesn't know the word. Poor Brother Branham's friends and his family were so sorry for him, they didn't dare tell him. But God showed him back in his hotel room. And he came on the platform. He said, you think I don't know what's going on down here, that God doesn't show me back in my chamber what's going on down here? He said, how ridiculous can you get? You call me a prophet and then say I don't know the word of God when the word of God comes to the prophet. Come on. Come on. Show me one man that had thus saith the Lord outside of William Branham. I challenge you. I got a little hangnail. I tell you about my hangnail. I got it tonight. You can pray for it. But I hear it right here. I couldn't even hear it. It's a little hangnail. And I say to thee, all these great men, say there's 3 billion people living in the world. William Branham's here. And I say to these 2 billion people, 999,000,000, 999,998, oh boy, that's a hayfield, isn't it? And I say, come up here in the name of the Lord and say, thus saith the Lord, that disappears. And they say, now, brother, there, tut, I say, just shut your tut, up. All I got to hang now. You say, you know God, you're vindicated to bring the word, go ahead. Give me some kind of a sign. Just a weed teeny hand. Never mind my eyes. Boy, could I stand a shot in the eye. No, get here. This is a teeny weeny hand. Doesn't mean anything. I say, Brother Dale, if you believe it, never mind about my believing. The man at the well didn't believe another. The dead man didn't believe another. Now, give me thus saith the Lord. That's he. You can't do it? Brother Branham, I heard you say bring me 24 of your worst cases, and you could heal them. Will you do this?
Sure.
Now, how can you come in the name of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and God back you up unless you're the man that God is going to back up and nobody else? Jannes and Jambres? Now, listen about those Jannes and Jambres. But they shall proceed no further. It's all over in this generation. For their folly shall be manifest unto all, as was Jannes and Jambres, because the Red Sea closed and the flood took them away. Paul said, but thou hast known fully my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecution, my affliction, which came in Antioch, and so on. He said, here's mine. Here's mine. Go ahead. Prove me wrong. Anybody stand up? 350 Pentecost, the preacher tried to trick Brother Branham up there in Chicago. They were there from many parts of the nation. They were there to trick him. And the angel of God said, they're coming to trick you. He said, I won't go here, but you will go. But I'm going to go with you. But let them know ahead of time. Why did God warn them ahead of time? So there'd be no showdown. Because had Brother Branham not told Brother Tom Hicks and Brother Hank Carlson and let the cat out of the bag, which was according to God's word to do it, the first man to challenge him would have been carried out feet first, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And every man that came against the prophet would have been carried out stiff as a board. And God does not have showdown. He said, did you believe it? Or will you crucify him? It's up to you. Well, I want a God with a showdown. Then you don't have the God to buy. Matthew, Peter, 2 Peter, the second chapter, and in verse 2, verse 1. But there were, no, that's the wrong translation, there arose false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Not just false prophets now, no, no. Not men with signs and wonders, no, no. There'll be a whole lot of false teachers say, well, I want to tell you, that man's got a great ministry. I'll follow him. Say, brother, why do you follow him? Why? Well, he believes like I do. But supposing he's wrong. Don't you know there's another brother around the corner that teaches off this? Don't you know there's a one that preached around the Philippines that has some of the greatest miracles that any Trinitarian ever dreamed to have it? Now, here's a Trinitarian miracle worker, and here's a oneness miracle worker. Now, how are you going to go? Oh, they say, glory to God, brother. That makes it so easy. It's up for grabs. Oh, I say, hold it. I can't take that route. Because if it's up for grabs, then why believe anything? Why believe anything? I can go to a spirit to get signs and wonders. She talks to her mother and talks in tongues, and he's a down and right spirit. And doctors come here, patients and cancers are healed and everything else. I got his book at home. It's amazing, and it's indicated by doctors. It's the truth. Why believe anything? Well, at Matthew 24, 23 to 25. What does that say about the last days? It tells you what it says. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lord, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false anointed ones, false Christ, false to the word, but true to the anointing of the power. Even false prophets. Tells you what they are. And they'll show great signs and wonders. Wonderful, true signs and wonders. Real signs and wonders. God will do them by these people. They're going to be so great. The Bible says they'll deceive everybody but those that are called up by the word of God. Everybody but those that hear the word. What word? This word? I've heard it preached by it. You could fight it almost a million men in America. Turn your radio on all day long, your TV. Someone is preaching that word, and they're preaching it all different. What in the world is the truth? What's it all about? See, what's been fulfilled and what hasn't been fulfilled? The book's been lying here for what? 4,000 years. It's been lying here. Roughly 4,000 years. And longer by tradition, oral tradition. 6,000 years of oral tradition, written tradition. What's been fulfilled? What happened? What was written here is a promise, and they turned it down so it can't be fulfilled. You know that's possible? That is possible. That God said, on a certain condition, I'll do so and so. It was never, ever fulfilled. They lost it. Now, does that belong anymore? What's happened? Not one word will pass away till all be fulfilled. If it's been fulfilled, then it's passed away. And what's been passed away? Who's going to tell? Now, if I believe what's not here, or I misinterpret in my belief, then who's going to back it up? As I said a while ago, Paul said, if God did not raise up Jesus Christ to face his name, now where am I going to go to? Now, at the end time, it says add one word or take away one word. You'll be put in the tribulation or lose your name off the book. Now, what am I going to do? How do I know? Tells you right here, all but the elect, those who come out by the word. Everyone is deceived, but some who come out by that word. Who comes out by the word? Where is that word? It's got to be something. Right today, the very signs and wonders of many gifted men are leading people right against the very truth for this hour. This would tend for such confusion and chaos that no man could know whose sign led to the true word.
But hold steady. What did Jesus say? If I had not done amongst them the works which no other man did. Just give you the truth of that. What about Moses? Wasn't he alone? What about Paul? Didn't he stand out? What about today? Did not the Bible say Elijah would restore the word? According to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, and listen to what it says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, they've got to keep him there, until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now what is this that God is going to give a restoration of what word? Because the word came by the prophets. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That never took place back in Jesus' day. They did to him what they listed. They crucified and killed him. See? It's the future thing he's talking about. There is yet to come a manifestation of that same prophet, because he's still a prophet. He never changes. He's the Son of God. Lily the Valley. Rose of Sharon. He's the Lamb. Although that's been fulfilled. But you can't take it away from him. He's King David, though he's never sat on the throne yet. You can't take it away from him. It's coming. Now, it says here that Peter speaking at Pentecost, he said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in you, and him you'll hear in all things. And the person that doesn't, those that don't hear, will be cut off amongst you. That never happened. So it's got to happen yet. Don't try to put it in the past tense. It isn't going to work, because it didn't happen. This is a part of the Bible that did not take place. So it's got to take place. See? Now, how will it take place? Elijah, by the ministry of Elijah, this very restoration is going to take place. The word, and those that don't hear this word will be cut off. They that add to it or take away, see, name out of the book, put in tribulation, very same thing. The ministry of Christ will vindicate it, according to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter and verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. The Son of Man's days repeat. Why haven't our students caught this? Show me one book ever written by any preacher or any teacher ever caught this verse here. That ever showed the people the days of Jesus would return to earth, but not Jesus. The ministry had come back. You know the only man who caught this? And he didn't know it was in the Bible. Old Daddy Boswell, back there in 1953. Brother Branham gave those signs and wonders in West Palm Beach in December of 53. I think it was the 8th to about the 12th. He pulled my coat, and he said, Brother Dale, for 40 years I've prayed that the ministry of Jesus Christ would return to this earth, and there it is in that man. Why? Because the Bible says so. You say, well, Brother Boswell, he didn't, Brother Dale, it's not in the Bible. Brother Boswell prayed it, and then, of course, God gave it. Oh, don't be ridiculous. God doesn't give any man's word any preeminence. It's his own word he backs up, not yours and mine. You believe that kind of nonsense, you'll end up with two or three wives if you're a lucky kind of a man. If you're a wicked kind of woman, you'll have half a dozen husbands. And you can next thing go and rob a bank. What nonsense. To believe for 1 minute God will back up your prayer because you pray it. It's got to be based upon the word. How could this man, Daddy Boswell, pray for 40 years God sent back the very ministry of Jesus Christ, and then God didn't intend to do? They went against the purpose and plan of God. But it's in the book. As it was in the days of Noah come back, but not Noah. So the very days of Jesus come back. But not Jesus. See? The great prophet ministry comes back. And it vindicates that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen. Let's go back to Acts, the 3rd chapter again. I want to show you this. I talked about it. Talked about the very first part of the message. I'll just click at the 10 now. In the 19th verse, repent you therefore and be converted, change your mind and turn back to God, that your sins may be blotted out.
Future tense. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What is that word presence in the Greek? That part of anything that is presented to the eye. Did you hear what it said? That part of anything that is presented to the eye. And let's go back now to John. Hope I can find this now. I think it's the 10th chapter. No. It's the 24th or 15th chapter. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. What part of God did they see? They saw God the Father. How? By the works. What part was presented to their eye? The works. If those works were presented again in this day, then those who saw them saw God. Right? Then if the ministry of Jesus Christ returns to this earth, but not Jesus Christ himself in the flesh, then have they seen the presence of God? Right. Then it says when that happens, line up the refreshing comes, which is the cool breeze, which is the Holy Ghost, blowing upon the bride, which is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, until the Word of God for this age comes into full manifestation. Now, with this in mind, let us go back to John 17 and 17 again. It says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. The word will sanctify them and set them apart from the world. Their identification, then, is in the word. This exact parallel went on in the days of Moses, according to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. I know it's a long sermon, but I usually preach like I may never preach again. So I got it covered. Listen to it. Now hearken therefore, Israel, under the statute and under the judgment which I teach you, said Moses, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give you. The word of God was going to sanctify them and give them life. In our case, it would be eternal life, that they might possess the land. This will be the millennium. You shall, now listen, I can prove it here. You shall not add one word to that which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. As the word of God was delivered by Moses, and you could not add or take away, John said that same word be delivered once more, and you could not add or take from it. And even when the seven thunders came forth in Revelation, it would be the revelation of that word which would be for your day, because that's the thunder sealed up, and you could not add or take from it. And this would do what? It would sanctify you apart and give you your oneness with God, because He is the Word and you are the Word. He can only marry words, even as the kinsman could only redeem the kinsman, so Word can only marry words. And so it is, you go into the millennium. Just what you see here. Israel turned it down. They would not take the word. They listened to Korah and Dathan. They listened to Balaam. They listened to everybody. They never went into that land and took it. No, sir, they never did. Abraham was not given that land. The Bible said not a foot he put on it was given to him. And Israel never took it by faith. They left the enemy in the land. Never, ever had the promise. Now the promise repeats. Now listen. He said here, your eyes have seen what the Lord God did at Baal Peor. For all the men that fall of Baal Peor, the Lord thy God destroyed. You go fornicating, brother, sister, with the creeds and dogmas of this world, and with the denominations, you'll end up in Baal Peor, cursed to God, you'll never get in. But you, he said, decreed the Lord your God, and you are alive, every one of you. How did they creed? They stayed with the word. They never went fornicating to creeds and dogmas. And Father, so-and-so said, so-and-so, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Nazarene, I'm a Baptist. I'm not identified anywhere but in this word, and in such a way nobody knows but God and me. Because the foundation of God standeth sure, having just seen the Lord know him as his, and the showdown is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. Amen. People looking for showdowns, forget it. I was one of those showdowns, I forgot. Glory to God. Oh, the peace my Savior gives. Peace I never knew before. And the way has brighter gone since I've loved the Word more and more. Yes, sir, listen. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. We're getting prepared for millennium too. Keep you therefore then, this is, now listen, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation, see there's your acts and signs, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you today? When Brother Branham brought the signs and wonders, he brought the Word of God to us. See, the Word of God separates us. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of life, but teach them unto thy sons' sons. Never forget that Brother Manum had the one vindicated ministry. I don't care what you see out there. I don't care what you hear and what goes on. He had the vindicated ministry. See, especially that day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. See, especially that day he came back and opened the seventh seal from the pillar of fire. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together. And how do you gather them? You gather them by the word. God gathers by the prophet. He said, how often would I have gathered you? The word often doesn't mean just once in the resurrection millennium. It often means often. Seven church ages. And not only seven church ages, but every single generation God gathers elect. 40 times into 2,000, God has gathered 14 generations by his word for the day. See? Gather people. And I'll make them to hear my word. How did he gather you? By the signs and wonders, and through the word, those the signs and wonders catch your attention and bring you to watch, and the word gathers you. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicken? When does a hen gather her chicken? In order to prevent them from death. By the word of God. It's the word of God that gives life. Isn't the word to give life? Doesn't the word of God give Lazarus life? Come out of him? Isn't the voice of the archangel giving life? The dead come out of the grave? Well, come on. Let's understand it. Now, hear my word, that they may learn to fear me all the days they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach the children. And he came near and stood up under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heavens, and darkness, and clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto out of the midst of the fire. Now listen, I want you to notice something here. You came near and stood on the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. Now listen, there was a fire came down, and a dark cloud came down upon the mountain. Is that what the Bible says? Listen, when Brother Brown was up there in Sabina Canyon, there was not only a pillar of fire ascending and descending that the teachers called their kids out to see, and hundreds saw that pillar of fire, but they saw a black cloud ascending and descending the same way. Just like Moses. How can you have Janus and Tam without Moses? Huh? I ask you a question though. This is so documented. This ministry, Brother Branham, is so perfect. So absolute. But how many are going to believe it? No, a little skeptical. A little skeptical. The Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, not of the black cloud, but the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, and the Ten Commandments. He wrote in the stone, and so on. Now listen, when Brother Branham had the pillar of fire descend out there and out the Sabina Canyon, Tucson, what was the word? The word came back of forgiveness for the fornication. He said to the men and women, he said, you've been married more than once. I told you the word of God said there's only one solution for it. And that is, you are got to separate and live separate. See? Never have another husband. Now, let's get back to the word. Fornication, in the eyes of God, is not just women and men having affair with each other. That isn't anything too bad. If God can't forgive you for that, what can he forgive you for? Remarriage is not the unforgivable sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is unforgivable sin. What's he trying to tell you? He came back and said, you men and women, listen. He said, the Bible said you're separate. The Bible said you're finished. Right. You, according to the word of God, you had better bust your homes up and live separate. But don't do it. Don't do it. Wait until you hear from me again. I'm waiting on God for something. My brother, my sister, listen to me. If God Almighty were to judge every one of us, that's bound by a creed and a dogma that was apart from his word, there would be nobody make the rapture but the first prophet. Only the prophet could make the rapture. Nobody else could make the rapture. And they couldn't make it either, because they without us cannot be made complete. So the message came back, I've forgiven you for every one of your last census affairs, for your creeds and your dogmas, for your adultery, for your fornication. Come back to your husband. I'll marry you now, said the Lord. See? Just exactly what we see in the Word. So, we see the parallel here. In Moses' day, they were positioned, and their destiny was made secure because of their positioning, which was by the Word. Their difference was by the Word, because God was nigh through the Word. The same thing I read you over here in the book of John. They are positioned, one in Christ by the Word, rather identified, one in Christ by the Word, and then sealed in through the Word, and for the last day, and the glint of the land, which is their destiny. Thank God, through the end time message, we have been positioned and sealed in by Jesus Christ. For the Holy Ghost has been liberated for the first time in 2,000 years from his creeds and his dogmas, in order to perform and finish the work which he was called to do, which was to seal us in to the day of redemption, which was the human body, which my brother, my sister, some people standing here shall not see death, but their bodies are going to be changed, and they'll get their redemption right now, sealed into Almighty Jesus Christ, and shall not see death. My, oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful message the prophet left us. Yes, the destiny. Why, he said, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. And some people will be standing right here. They shall not pay for that, because the Bible said so. The whole body of truth will then come into existence, according to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verses 12 to 16. Listen to it. For the perfecting of God gave the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. And that word perfecting means a conclusion and a consummation. It means up to the very rapture. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. Listen, and what happens? Henceforth, no more children. Everyone placed his adopted son. No more talk to him so. No more carried by a doctrine. No more by the sleight of men. No more by cunning craftiness. Nobody can deceive us. No, sir, fall over. When did that take place? Show me. When did that take place? Never did. Never did. There's only one time, and that's when the full revealed body of truth comes out. And every Christian, being a member of that same revealed truth, he's a part of that Word, a part of God. Now he gets sealed back in, and through the ages, they're coming up by a pyramid. After the last age, before it was brotherly kindness. Now the last one comes into love. Laodicea. The best we could do, a little brotherly kindness, not even love. But no, when now the Word comes down, Christ himself, the headship of the Word comes back upon the bride, Christ sealing that bride in by the Word. No more is she walking by your senses. No, sir, I say that's where Hebrews 10 gets fulfilled. The law written in the mind and the heart now, through Christ himself, see? No more you deceive. No more, no, sir. Because why? We've been building up and up and up. It's brought a render pyramid of truth. Until the capstone, the very truth itself comes out. See, speaking the truth in love. What are you going to speak but the truth in love at the last? May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Christ comes down upon the body. Christ comes down upon the bride. A living bride, here is the last day. Coming down upon it, it will not die. How can she die when death loses its sting, and the sting of death is sin? Can't do it. She can't be deceived. How can a man be in error when he's deceived? Or can't be deceived. How could he have fallen if she couldn't be deceived? But she could be deceived. But there's coming a day when she cannot be deceived. See? Notice, from whom the whole body, now the whole body, see, fitly framed together, make it increase. Now, the last little group here, Christ revealing her, now they can start coming up. Coming up. Coming up. The whole body of truth brought into supreme existence through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the prophet taught. Make no mistake about it. The word of truth spiritually revealed sets all those apart who will be with him and sharing him his throne in glory. But that is reserved only for those who are one with him. Now it tells you how to be one with him. How you get one with him? That is by marriage. Huh? Let's go to the marriage. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. See, going back and forth on these verses, the 1 to 3, the 2 to 3. But I'm jealous over the godly jealousy. God bestows you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguile you to his facility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. How is Eve defiled? How does the bride get defiled? Through the perversion of the word of Almighty God. And God Paul said, I can't have you married to such a one. See? And how can we be proud of Christ and be perverted word? We cannot be. It's impossible. God will not allow. See? Look it over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. I got to do this fast. We can another half an hour, but it isn't fair. It's wore all out. The 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians, 15:17. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Now he's talking to individual people. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he should be one flesh, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now listen, you know the bride is a female, right? Sure, as a group of people, she's a female. There's no men, no males, and no females. It's just called she. But notice when he talks about the individual members, he calls them he. No women now, all men. Now what can men do? They can mess around and fornicate. Now I said, listen, don't you try it. Because he said, the minute that you fornicate, you've joined yourself to a harlot and you're one with her. Rome. Protestant. Baptist. Presbyterian. Assembly of God. United Pentecost. Church of Christ. Nazarene. Any one of the names. Blasphemous names. You're fornicated. You're one with her. The individual members. He said, how can you then be a part of the body of Christ? After the impossible. He said, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. How can you have their spirit? How can the spirit of Christ can go to them? You can't do it. Flee fornication. Flee it. He said, every sin that a man does is without the body. You can go and get drunk. Yes, sir. Not that you're sure. You kill a man like David? Yes, sir. You actually rape the woman? Because who's going to stop the king from doing what he wants? He's just a girl. Take another man's wife? Get away with it? But you go fornicate? You take the creed of government? You sin against the body of Jesus Christ. Every other sin is apart from the body, except there's one sin of fornication, and God will judge you for fornication. Which is what? Out there and sin with the creed and dogma, away from the word of God. Don't you see this is the truth? Look at 2 Thessalonians if you don't believe me. If I'm telling you a lie, let's check Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Listen to it. Verses 13 and 14. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Even the word and in Greek is even as well as it's k as well as and, even belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ. How did he say you get my glory? By being one with me through the sanctifying word. How does Paul say you get the glory of God? By his gospel, no other buddy's gospel. What came the word of God unto you? Came the word of God out of you. If you're even spiritual, you know what I tell you is the truth. You Galatians, I'm surprised you're moved from the truth. What's the matter with you? So an angel of God come down. Or I say, don't you believe anybody what I said? Oh, that's strong language. That's the language of the Holy Ghost. That's the language of God. See? Now listen. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you have been taught either by word or by epistle. And now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, even God, even our Father, loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And now listen, that's what he says here. But what does he say up here? What does he say up here about it? Let's read it. For the mystery of all already worked, verse 7. Only he that tendered will hinder beneath another wing. Then he that shall that wicked one be redeemed, whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, destroyed by his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, efficiency. But it's not efficient to have little churches anymore. We're going to be one big church. It's not efficient to have little government, all one big government, world power, world God, with lying power, signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness. Where did Satan deceive you? In the word, deceivable of unrighteousness. What is the greatest deception that God holds against a man? Not seducing the woman. No, you fornicate, God will forgive you. That ain't going to do it. You murdered God, that's not going to do it. God forgives murderers. The deceivable of unrighteousness is the deception of Eve by the word, which is the false word, which is what's going on today. Deception by false word. See? In them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, it might be saved. When did that truth come forth? It's got to come forth. How can God judge if that truth doesn't come forth? And for this cause, turn down the truth. Well, they're going to say, Lord, when did we see you? When did we hear about you? When did this happen? When did that occur? When did this? He said, oh, look, he said, I was there. I was there all the time. He told the Pharisees, the kingdom of God cometh but not with observation. He said, if it's coming, you won't see it. He tells it's going to be here, the truth. And what's going to destroy them? They're going to turn down the love of the truth. And because they turn down the love of that truth, what does God do? It says God sends them strong delusion that they believe the lie. When they turn down Moses, what did God do? He sent them false prophets. And when they turned down the prophet William Branham, what did God do? He sent them false prophets. See? And on we could go. I don't need to go any further. I'm no prophet of God. I'm not even a smart person. I don't even have enough on the ball to be sweet and gentle and kind. I rough ride people and slam this way and that. But I'll tell you one thing. I may not have the love people want me to have, but I stand on the truth, the word of God. I've taken that word, and I'll challenge any man to prove me wrong. He can't do it. Why? Because it's based upon the teaching of William Marion Branham, the prophet of God, that had thus set the Lord, and the ministry of Jesus Christ in this earth came back, and by a pillar of fire, vindicated through the man that he spoke the truth, and I have preached my sermon based upon what he taught. And here it is, all in the word of God. Brother there, I'm looking for this and for that. I'm not. No, sir, I've got what I'm looking for, the sanctifying word. Brother, sister, if this doesn't work, forget it. He said, you mean it? Brother, sister, I mean it. If God is my judge, if this isn't it, forget it. I don't want it. I'm finished. I'll look for nothing else. If this will not do according to what the word says it will do, I got no hope. I got no hope. I'm just a Laodicean person. I'm just wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. And I haven't got any hope. I'm just out of luck. And I'm going to have to hate the truth and miss it somewhere. And I'm going to be deceived. Because that's what the Bible says going to happen. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe. That seed may lie here in a dry area for some time. But of what I've taught, based upon what he taught, is the word of God. This word that the prophet sowed will not return unto God's voice, but it will bring forth a harvest in your generation, which if there be some of us standing here who shall not taste death. But one day, like a little breeze, as Brother Bannon said, passing over, will be changed. And we'll see them in their serried ranks, marching into the sky. And we, falling in behind, will march up with them. Because, brother, sister, I've got a promise. And that promise is Elijah will restore. God bless you. Thank you. Gracious eternal Father, been long tonight, and haven't meant to well to people, but have tried my best to keep my speech slower that they might understand and bring in the word. And now, Lord God, your spirit will surely fall upon that word which is of you and in your spirit to bring it forth within all of us tonight, O God, that we shall be a part of that vine. O Lord, may people realize we're not here to run down anybody at all, but to honestly say with the Apostle Paul that if it were possible, we'd be glad to give away our own life that others might be brought in. For Lord, if it could be possible, it would be a privilege to give our own place to those that we love that they might come into eternal life. Not, Lord, that we disesteem
what you've done for us, or hold it in poor repute. But, O Lord God, we stand strong on this word as it being the only truth. And if anyone misses it, then, Lord, I can't see by what you said that it's going to be any way than what has been set forth by your prophet. Oh, God, thinking how he wiped away his tears when he has to stand up there and say what he said, cutting his own heart 1,000 times more than the heart that was cut out there in the audience, crying over his loved ones, knowing that his sisters and brothers, there weren't any around except Doc came to church, and his mother until she died, passed on. How tragic it was that he could say, I held my daddy in my arms a sinner as he died. And yet he, knowing what he knew, still stand up. Lord God, what can we do tonight but stand up? Only pray, Lord, to give us more of that same spirit of consideration and love and tenderness, that we might never be guilty, Lord, of taking the club on people. God, may that never be it. I don't mind, Lord, it being a chisel and a hammer to hammer out your people, but not to hammer the people. God grant they may understand, Lord, that this is just the best way you can do it. May they be blessed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm the King eternally, more than this, from the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory, through Jesus Christ. Amen.